I don't know about you, but I realize that it's easy to get set in our ways and to get into comfortable places and predictable places. And, you know, even the style of doing church, for example. Well, this is just the way we do, and these are the songs we do. And if it ain't fitting in that little predictable box that I'm used to, then I throw it out. It can't be of God. You know, if it's not from the red back hymnal, it's not of God. You know, and I think, you know, Jesus was clear about you can't put new wine into an old wine skin. And sometimes, guys, we just need to be flexible and move with God. If God's saying, I'm going to not change my message, but the method might change. Are you hearing me, somebody? And we got to be open to go with God and what he wants to do, because it's about reaching people, amen, and making disciples. So we got to be able to speak the language of the people we address and connect with our culture without compromise, amen. So let's be flexible in this thing, amen, and let's help each other out. Let's support one another in whatever it is. You know, over the last couple of days, we had a wonderful time of refreshing. They did a lot of the old school Southern gospel kind of mixed in with some of the newer stuff, and I thought it was great because, you know what, I can celebrate the Lord in any of that, amen, because it really is about the heart, where the heart is. It's not about the song. All right. It's not about the music. It's about where your heart's at and worshiping the Lord in spirit together in support of your brothers and sisters. Are you hearing me, somebody? So I come here and I offer myself as a servant to you. All right. And we do the same. We are here to serve one another. All right. And do whatever we can to encourage someone else. It's not about self-service. It's not Burger King. Have it your way. All right. We want it God's way. Hallelujah. And if God is doing something that I'm not used to, I just need to get on board with him. Are you hearing me, somebody? So again, it's easy to get stuck kind of in a pattern in a way that I'm comfortable with. And yet sometimes, you know, even back, in fact, when the hymns are coming out, some of the people in that generation, you know, even they thought that some of these hymns were demonic because they even adopted some of the bar tunes of that day, of that era, and put Christian lyrics to them. Did you know that? Yeah. So, I mean, we just kind of got to get over some of the idiosyncrasies we may have about things and just say, God, whatever you're doing, I'm on board with it. We got to be flexible because you can miss what God's doing because of your tradition. Yeah. So that's a word for me today. I have a certain thing I like to do in a certain way I like to do it. But, you know, I got to be open. I got to be willing to make the adjustments that God wants me to make, okay, so that we can be more effective. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you today for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for you being with us like you promised. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us. You haven't turned away from us. Even when we fail you, Lord, you're still there. And thank you, Lord, that you invite us back into your fellowship. You wait for us, Lord, to call on you again, to move to you again. And God, today I pray in Jesus' name that we will hear from you, that you will speak to our hearts today, that you will impart to us what we need right now, God, that the body may be nourished, we'll be strengthened, we'll be edified mutually, and we'll be equipped, fully prepared for every good work, that we may be about your business, Lord God, realizing that time is of the essence. Time is short, and your coming is nigh. So God, get us ready for whatever may come in the days to come. Make us ready, make us strong in you, so that we can endure and overcome to the end. Thank you, Lord, for always being there, and that your grace is sufficient. Lord, deliver us from the lie of making excuses for ourselves and Lord, you're trying to focus on our own weakness. God, we got to get past that and start looking at your ability, your strength, Lord, to help us through, to overcome. We can do all things, indeed, through Christ. You are the strength of our life, Lord. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the love we have here, the camaraderie and the brotherly love that we share. Father, most importantly, the agape love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. I just thank you that I have the privilege to be a part of this family. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to give a shout out to those of you who could make it the last couple days. We had such a great support, didn't we? From this house right here. So many were able to come and so many came And, you know, it really blessed our Pastor Richard and Patty as they're in just a small church in a small location, town location. And but you guys coming out really made a difference, you know. And I just appreciate you and thank you for being that way. Amen. You know, you sow into others, all right? Mm-hmm. And you don't lose whatever you sow, whatever you give, because you're doing as unto the Lord. Amen. So how many followers of Jesus do we have here today? Amen. All right. Hallelujah. We are his disciples, his students. We're here to learn, to grow, to become like Jesus more and more every day. He's doing a work in us. You know, even when we don't feel him, even when we don't see it, God's still working, isn't he? Amen. So the title of the message today is As Followers of Jesus. As Followers of Jesus. We are to remain awake, watchful. We are to live in expectation of his return. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Your what? Waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him. Well, immediately. He's speaking about a readiness and expectation of the coming of the Lord. When is he coming? He's coming in an hour when you think not. So he's saying, I want you to be watchful. I want you to pay attention. And I want you to be about my business in my absence. Amen. So we have to have our waist girded. Now, in Eastern lands, they would have a belt drawn around the waist so that they could take the long flowing outer garment and tuck it in anytime they wanted to walk quickly or run. Otherwise, they would trip and fall. Okay, they would trip over the garment. So what Jesus is saying is, I want you to take that outer garment. I want you to tuck it in and leave it there, because you need to be in a place where you are ready to respond when I call you. Are you hearing me? So a servant need to be living in expectation, okay, of the master's return, but also ready to respond to the commands of their master. And so the girded waist speaks of our God-given mission. That's your mission, your calling. The burning lamp speaks of our testimony. How many know we are called to be a light in the world, the light to this world? And so we cannot be a light apart from the Holy Spirit. It's not just going around being nice. Amen. We need the light of Christ shining through our lives, and it has to be genuine. It has to be from the heart. Amen. As the Holy Spirit is leading us. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that God has given to us. Amen. To enable us to be a witness, to be a light to others around us. Amen. And so he's the one that's going to light us up. Amen. He's the oil of our lamps, if you will. And so we got to have oil in our lamps to keep our lamps burning, all right? And we don't want to be a smoldering, you know, smoldering flax, you know, that's just kind of like smoking out. And if there's an ember there, there's hope, amen, because God can breathe upon that ember, amen, and bring you back to full flame again. But God wants us to be responsible, amen, to keep the flame in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own walk, our own experience. It's up to us to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. God's not going to automatically do it. He says, I want you to come to me and drink. Eat, amen, receive of me so that you have a full cup, an overflowing cup that will also be a blessing to those around you. God doesn't want his people weak. He doesn't want his people anemic spiritually, all right? He wants his people to be thriving, not just surviving. So we need the grace, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be people of his presence, amen? We're not here to do a thing on Sunday, all right? We're here to receive of the Lord and to give. Hallelujah. In Luke 12:37, it says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Watching means vigilant or awake. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them what? Awake. Vigilant. As being on guard duty, if you will. You got to pay attention to what's happening around you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. The Lord said, I will gird myself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Wow. Now, Jesus gives us a picture of a man returning from a wedding and finding his servants here waiting for him. And they were living, though, in a state of readiness. And so he's so pleased with them because they were taking heed to his word. They were obeying his voice, doing what he expected them to do. All right. And so it pleased him so much that he actually girds himself with a servant's apron and seats them at his table and serves them a meal. Wow. How many here want to please the Lord? Amen. You know, it pleases the Lord that you believe him. If you believe him, then you'll obey him. In verse 38, it says, if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, the servants. So blessed are those servants. Now, the second watch of the night was from 9 p.m. to midnight. And the third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m. Point here is that no matter what time the master returned, his servants were to be prepared to meet him. That's what Jesus is saying. As we need to stay awake, we need to remain vigilant. Certainly, we are in a spiritual battle. This battle is not only for your soul, but for the souls of others. And so even for the sake of others, I need to keep myself. I need to guard myself because my life is an influence over others. Amen. You are influencing somebody in your life. So keep that in mind next time you decide to do something that you know God doesn't approve of. Understand that even though you may think it's in secret and nobody is seeing it and I'm getting away with it, you are actually influencing somebody through your decisions. And so what we want to do is influence somebody in a way that's going to bring them closer to Jesus. Amen. We don't want to cause such a scene and be such a hypocrite that people are turned off and they don't want to receive and listen to our God. Are you hearing me? So we are likened as followers of Jesus to watchmen. We are the watchmen on the wall. And the watchman was placed upon the walls of the city and in the towers. And they were to look out. And they were to be separated from the city. And as they would look out, they were looking for any danger lurking in the night. Any approaching enemies that may come to try to, you know, breach the wall of the city and attack the city. So they had a responsibility to pay attention, to be vigilant, and to watch carefully. And if they had any sign of evil approaching or impending doom, they were to take the shofar or the trumpet to their lips and they were to sound it as loud as they could to warn the people that danger was approaching. How many know that you and I are responsible as watchmen, not only of our own soul, but over our brother and our sister as well? We are to look out for one another. And so we're to keep watch over our souls. We have to be vigilant about this because we do have an adversary. 1 Peter 5:8. How many know this one? Stay alert. This is New Living Translation. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we've got to be careful to pay attention to what's happening and don't allow ourselves to get so distracted by media, so distracted by other things, all right, things of the world, so that we become oblivious to what's really going on. How many know the enemy's trying to get your attention? He wants you to pay attention to what he's saying and what he's doing. He wants you to get all upset about all the things that he's doing. He wants to present to you a situation that appears to be hopeless, so in hopes that he'll get you to buy into that, amen, because he's trying to rob you of your confidence. He's trying to rob you of your faith in your God, that God is on the throne. I don't have a thing to worry about. God's going to take care of me. No matter what, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No matter what, we win in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me, somebody? So we need to be about our Father's business. We need to stay vigilant, amen, and pay attention. Now, I know that in certain places in the world, there are brothers and sisters that are on the front lines. They are ministering to people in hostile areas, and they understand the importance of being vigilant. They have to pay attention. They have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. They need to be getting their direction from the Holy Spirit. Well, how many know in America we need to do likewise? We may not realize that, but this is true for us as well. But they know that if they don't pay attention and they don't listen to the instruction of the Lord, it could cost them their lives. And so the Lord will give them direction. He'll show them where to go, who to talk to, and who not to talk to. And so we need to be on point with the Lord. We need to be in agreement with His plan, with His will for our lives. And we need to be listening to the voice of God. We need to pay attention to what God is trying to show us so that we're not caught up in the trap of the adversary. Guys, the devil's been at this a very long time. A very long time. And so he has perfected his craft of deception. And we need to be very careful not to get arrogant and to get proud to think that somehow I can't be deceived. It's not, can I be deceived? It's, Lord, show me the areas I am deceived. If I'm in deception, Lord, I want you to show it to me. Deliver me from evil, for yours is the kingdom. And so we need to be, as the watchmen, we need to be paying attention to what's going on, because obviously we see in our culture great darkness now, the media, entertainment. And so it's even more crucial that we pay attention now that we're in a dark time. You see, a watchman's responsibility was greater, wasn't it, at night, because that's usually when the enemy wants to attack in times of darkness. Now, we have a responsibility to speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love to one another. James 5:19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Who's he talking to? Brethren means us, doesn't it? If any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Jesus said in Luke 21:34, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness, by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware, like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. He said, what? Keep alert, verse 36, at all times, and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Oh, you mean there may be an escape? Is there an escape in the Lord? Are we followers of Jesus? If we're followers of Jesus, then we are to watch and pray. God's called us to pray and to guard against worldliness, because the world, as you know, is passing away. What is the world? Again, it is called cosmos. The word is cosmos. It is that evil system that's in opposition to the rule of God. And we are in the world, but we're not of it. But God doesn't take us out of it because he wants us to be light in the world. Are you hearing me? To light up the darkness. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So what is the world? Worldliness, in a nutshell, is the love of passing things. It's the love of passing things, temporal things. It's esteeming the temporal things of this life greater than the things of God. It's idolatry. You know, when we discover the goodness of God, how wonderful he is, how superior his plan is for our lives. When we really come to that realization, to that revelation, then we're now in a place where we're willing to say, Lord, let me commit myself to something that's eternal. Amen. And so I'm not spending myself or wasting the time you've given me here. Amen. Where I could be bearing fruit unto eternal life and making a difference in someone else's life. How many here want to be an influencer for good? Amen. Well, you got to get the influencer in you. Amen. You got to be close to the Lord. You got to be filled with the influencer. Amen. To be an influence. Amen. People don't really need us, guys. They need Jesus in us. Amen. And you and I being the point person, the vessel, amen, that God works through. God gives us our unique personalities and He'll use you just the way you are. And He'll give you a different vision, a different focus, a different passion. Amen. And that's okay. But together we work. Amen. Together we express the Lord's heart in this world. Hallelujah. And the body needs each member. As God's people, we need each other. I need what you have. You need what I have. But together we grow healthy. I know some people think all I need is Jesus. I don't need anybody else. I don't need any other Christians in my life. But no, you need the body. It's like the hand saying, I don't need to be connected anywhere. I'll just be out here doing my thing. How long is that hand going to last, right? So how do I fulfill my calling as a watchman? Number one, don't allow yourself, as I already said, to fall asleep spiritually. Because you and I need to be on duty. When I was in Korea, I was on the demilitarized zone for a season, and we had to go out and live patrols up there. And while we were on patrols, we would go to a certain location, and we would be doing it at night, navigating by those old compasses. And you had to be very careful because there was minefields up there. There was places, you know, that if you weren't paying attention, you can get into the wrong location, you know. And so you had to be vigilant. You had to be paying attention. And we had this thing called night vision. You've heard of that. Well, it isn't like the stuff they got today, but it was the old starlight scopes, you know. But they worked somewhat, you know, so that you can kind of see where things are at and what's happening. But when we would arrive at the location we were supposed to be, we would set up a perimeter, all right, and we would place our guards, everybody actually, because we were in squads. Everybody would be on guard duty and would be watching for infiltrators that were coming across. And so we know that being in that situation, and there was hostile soldiers out there at times. They would cross over. That you had to pay attention or it could cost you not only your life, but the life of your brothers, you know. So, in a sense, we were watchmen. We had to watch. We had to pay attention to what was happening. So that not only could I be safe, but I could also protect, guard over, amen, the lives of my brothers as well. Are you tracking me? This is what we're called to do, to be on watch. All right? We are on watch. And every one of us is called to pay attention, to be a watchman, to look out, not only for my own interests, but for the interests of others. And so we need to, first of all, don't allow yourself to fall asleep, because when we went on these patrols, we go out like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I want to tell you, and then sometimes it was in the middle of winter. And if you've ever been cold before, you experience the cold of South Korea. It is cold. That's why so many of the men, you know, died during the war. They call it frozen chosen, you know. I mean, they just not chosen, but yeah. But many of them froze to death because it's just so cold, and often like a wet cold that penetrates you, you know. So, but also being in the middle of the night, you know, you had to do whatever it was you needed to do to stay awake, to keep yourself from falling asleep. Are you hearing me? And sometimes, guys, we are tempted just to let down our guard and to kick back and relax and kind of put everything on the shelf and on hold. Are you hearing me? And if we're not careful, without even realizing it, we can begin to fall asleep. And so the enemy knows this. He watches your life. He's watching you and I. He knows if we're being vigilant. He knows if we're people of prayer. Amen. That are walking in prayer, that are walking in the Word, that are connecting in with the life of God through the body of Christ as well. Fellowshipping, coming together as much as we can. He watches your life, and He's waiting for you to nod out. He's waiting for you to fall asleep. And he will offer you alternatives and other things that will distract you away from the life of God so that you, without even realizing it, begin to fall asleep. And he knows the time to pounce. He waits until you begin to nod out spiritually, and then he attacks. And don't think that because I've been a Christian for so many years that that doesn't influence me, or I can't be infected by that devil. He's very busy, isn't he? How many know what I'm talking about? If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, you know how important it is to stay awake, to stay vigilant, and not allow yourself to fall asleep, not only for your benefit, but once again, for the benefit of your brothers and sisters. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked the Lord, right? And the answer is yes, we are. Amen. We're not assigned to everybody. I can't take care of everybody, but together we can do it. Amen. Together we can work and pay attention. Amen. Call. If you haven't seen somebody here today, you know, you have, if God put somebody on your heart, pay attention. All right. And he may be calling you to call them or to pray for them at least. Right. But we need to encourage one another, and we need to do whatever possible within the grace of God, amen, to keep each other alert, to keep each other sharp. We need to speak the truth in love. The best way to defeat the enemy is to speak the truth. He hates it. He can't deal with it. It's light, amen. He loves the darkness. He's trying to keep us away from the Word of God. He's trying to keep us from the truth. So the second thing, again, is we need to be vigilant in prayer, in the Word, and in the love of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost, right? We stay in the love of God. Keep yourself unspotted from this world. Keep yourself from worldliness, from worldly passions, from sensual things that would seduce you away from Christ. I find that if I make the Lord my desire and my delight, and I delight myself in him, and I'm deliberate about this, then I experience the goodness of God in such measure that the lesser things, even the temptations, they lose their savor. They lose their influence in my life. Amen. You and I are no match for this adversary that we're dealing with. As a matter of fact, some people don't even realize it, but they're already captivated by the adversary. The adversary's already effectively blinded them. But, you know, in some cases, if a person's never been able to see, they're not going to realize that they've been blind. I've used that illustration before. You know, it's like having trouble seeing the board. But to you, that's normal because you've always been, you know, when you're a kid, you know, used to squinting to look at the board until you go see the optometrist and you get your eyes checked. And all of a sudden you realize that, hey, your eyes are bad. You need some help. All right. You need to get a prescription for some eyeglasses that will do what? Correct your vision. How many know the Word of God will correct your vision? The Word of God will keep you sharp. Amen. So you can see, you need both the Spirit and the Word working together in your life. All right. To stay awake, we need the oil supplied to the vessel. And that is my responsibility. That's your responsibility. But if we will stay filled up, amen, even when we're coming together, our gatherings are awesome because you're already filled with the Holy Spirit before you ever came. Isn't that true? So everybody should come with an attitude of, I want to be a blessing. Somehow I want to be an influence. I want to be an encouragement to somebody else. I'm coming not just to get, but I'm coming to give. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah. So when you give out love, amen, you receive love. So as followers of Jesus, still on this, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. John 17:15, Jesus prayed to the Father, I do not pray you should take them out of the world, but that you should what? Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, his disciples, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means set apart. Now, listen, guys. The biggest problem we have is a lack of knowledge of the truth. The enemy wants to keep you ignorant to what is true. So he will give you alternatives to distract you from abiding and learning and growing in truth. Why? Because if you have the truth, then you'll know what the lie is. You'll be able to identify it when you see it. You don't have to focus on the lie. You focus on the truth. And if you know the truth, when the lie is presented, you know that's not true. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Amen. So a lot of people, even in Christendom, yeah, I'm in the church in America, right? They are so dysfunctional because they don't have the knowledge of the truth. So we need to learn. We need to grow. Part of learning and growing is making mistakes along the way. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was in and out of church growing up. But a lot of times I was not paying attention. Hello. Sound familiar? I was distracted by lesser things, and the enemy was watching. And in the areas of my ignorance, he would attack me. Because the message was coming forth, but I was not tuned in. I was tuned out. And see, that's the deception of the enemy. He's trying to get you to tune out of what God is saying, what God is doing, so that he can keep you in darkness. You may think you're doing well, but others will know the difference. And certainly the Lord knows. And so it was in those same areas that if I had paid attention and I've had received the love of the truth in my heart, I could have prevented a lot of heartbreak. Amen. A lot of hard times in my life if I just taken the word and received it. Amen. And applied it to my life. But instead, the enemy kept me ignorant by distraction. And he's doing the same thing today. So many Christians in America are still distracted by so many other things that they're not prioritizing the will of God for their lives. Instead, it's these other things. And if I have any time left over, maybe I'll give it to God. So the Lord said to the Father, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. It's what's going to protect you. That's what Paul was saying when he was speaking to Timothy about his mother and his grandmother, that he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to save him, you know, to protect him through a knowledge of the truth. So important that we study, amen, and that we learn. We get the word in our hearts. Followers of Jesus, we should remain silent. We should never remain silent concerning the truth or when we see others heading into danger. Remember in the book of Acts when the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees rose up against the apostles to silence them? They wouldn't be silenced. Why? Because they're under higher orders. They're under the authority of God. Amen? So if the authorities, the earthly authorities, try to get you to contradict the will of God, that's an illegal order. It's illegitimate authority because God is the ultimate authority and we obey his word. Amen? Above all words. If our government is not compromising the will of God, we obey that law. But if it compromises the will or the word of God, we don't obey that. Are you hearing me? So they're telling him, you guys can't talk in this name anymore. You can't talk about Jesus anymore. But they wouldn't be silenced. Instead, what'd they do? They said, Lord, help. They were threatened. I mean, I know that there are people right now in high places that would love to shut us down and shut you down and shut up your voice and shut up your testimony. Who are we going to obey? Who are we going to listen to? Are we here to please people or are we here to please the Lord? Amen. Acts 4:29, they said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. If you're having trouble being bold for Jesus, it means that you lack one key ingredient. The power of the Holy Spirit. Because what we're called to do requires his power. Now, some people have natural charisma and they can influence people using just their charisma. But what we're called to do is higher than just human charisma. Are you hearing me? In order to represent God authentically, realistically, and effectively, it's going to require the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the power of God so that we can be an effective expression of God's heart in this world. People need Jesus, amen? They need to encounter the living God. And they're going to encounter the living God through those who are in communion with the living God. Those who are close to the living God. Those who are people of His presence, amen, will automatically bear fruit simply because they're abiding in the vine. They're abiding in Jesus. Amen. It's not so much about what we're doing, it's who we become. And automatically, as the planting of the Lord and we stay connected to Him, we will bear fruit. And we will have a confident assurance. We will have a supernatural boldness as we rely upon the power of the Spirit and to enable us to speak up. It enables us to say no when everybody else may be saying yes. Too many times people are just following the crowd and what other people do. Even in Christendom, even in the church, so many times people are just doing what other Christians do. How about following Jesus? How about being a follower of Jesus and saying, well, Lord, what are you doing? Because sometimes we're following Christians who aren't following Jesus. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching right there. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're living in this time right now where people are rejecting the truth. No mystery, right? Remember what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word of God. He said, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage. He didn't say just encourage, but correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Come on, if my flesh gets offended, that's a good thing. There's a part of me that wants to rebel against the will of God. And I have to identify what is of the Lord and what is not. Yep, we're here to offend the devil. You know, the Lord's word will do that. It's a sword. It's sharp. It cuts sometimes. And sometimes it cuts painful. But we need it. And we need to be willing to speak the truth in love. If you love people enough, you'll tell them the truth. Even if it's not popular, even if they don't like you the way you said it or what you said. And sometimes people will talk to me and I don't like the way they said it or what they said. But I have to examine myself and say, Lord, is that what you're saying? If it's what God's saying, I need to say yes. I need to learn. And sometimes you think if it's our thought, it must be God. But sometimes it is God speaking. We need to be able to distinguish that. You see, the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching, verse 3. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. I like this church because they make me feel comfortable. Well, I believe you can be comfortable in the Lord, but before I can be comfortable in the Lord, I have to be uncomfortable in my soul. Are you hearing me that? I have to first become uncomfortable with the way I am that's in rebellion to God before I can get my heart right with God and be comfortable in the Lord and be at peace. So we got to tell the truth. We have to speak the truth in love because we care enough to say, listen, this is what God has told us. It doesn't matter what my opinion is about the matter. But he says they're going to look for people. And boy, you can go on YouTube and find all kinds of stuff today, right? All kinds of stuff. I was just talking to one of the ministers last night about, man, one of the problems we're having is there's so much stuff out there. Some of it's good, but man, there's a lot of garbage out there. You know, prophets prophesying from their grandmother's basement or from their van down by the river or whatever. I know. Well, you could prophesy there too, but the thing is that many of them are self-appointed. There's no accountability and there's nobody to validate that this person is actually in good standing. You can be anybody you want on YouTube, you know. You can put up the facade long enough till the video ends. And we got to be discerning. We got to know what really is of God and what is not. And if we're not in the Word, we're not in prayer, we don't have a relationship with Jesus, we're not able to hear and discern His voice, then we're going to be duped by all this teaching and all this stuff that's going on right now that seems good, that sounds good, but it's not. Because people will reject the truth, verse 4, and they'll chase after myths. People are believing all kinds of crazy stuff today. Many people are living in a fantasy. Living in a fantasy. One of the neighbors around here, and I only know that because I happened to glance over and look, but if you're listening, neighbor, I'm talking about you. But it's like a constant din of Xbox and video games. Can't get away from it. Caught up in it. Are you hearing me? Captivated by this thing. It's become a god, an idol. I mean, even sometimes people can't even come to church long. And I'm not talking about somebody that's on their Bible during a service on their phone. But some people, they just can't get away from their video game long enough to sit through and listen to a message. They've been captivated by it. They've been brought under the power of that thing and not even realizing it. As the people can't even concentrate today, they can't pay attention long enough to get a message that will help them. Everything is in Twitter view, you know, Twitter van. Squirrel. But the enemy's doing that. He's using these things sometimes to distract us and get us caught up in lesser things, love of the world, so that he can rob us of our inheritance. He's a thief. So, one more thing, guys, as followers of Jesus, it's my responsibility to awaken my spiritual zeal. I have to awaken my spiritual zeal. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. My responsibility is to wake up, to pay attention, to realize what's going on, to realize how far I've fallen from my first love. He says, you've left your first love. You're not in love with me like you used to be. You're not as passionate about the things of God as you used to be. You've allowed other things come in. And you know, God wants me. He wants us to come back to that place where Jesus is our all in all. Where our life revolves around the Lord and his mission, his will for us. And we delight ourselves in his presence and in his people. You remember we talked about this 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul said, Timothy, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. So if the fire's going out, we need the bellows applied once again. We must seek the Lord and get back into his presence. Hallelujah. Guys, I experience dryness. I experience difficulties like anybody else. We're all in this together. I'm not some super spiritual individual. I'm just a man. Amen. But I love Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I want to honor him. And I want to live out the purpose of God for my life, just like you do. Amen. But that requires initiative on my part to be deliberate about this relationship, to be deliberate about I need to pray, because not because I feel like I need to pray, but because I know I need to pray. Because God says, if I don't pray, I'll fall prey. I will give in. I'll become weak and susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. If I allow myself to go to sleep, the enemy will pounce. And he's just trying to do that, you know. And some people, again, they don't even realize how far they've fallen asleep already. And so it's up to us to awaken ourselves, amen, by praying in the Holy Ghost. By, amen, being people of his presence. Hallelujah. And so when we come together, it's like during this week, it was so good. You know, we come out and it was, as soon as we come in, it's like entering into that place where the presence of the Lord is. And you're just like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And when you come out of there, you're just like so refreshed. Amen. And so we have to maintain that, amen, flame during the day, during the week, through prayer, through praise, through thanksgiving, amen, through connecting whenever we can with the body of Christ, and being obedient to the will of God. You know, as you water others, God will water you. But we need to gather, amen, as much as possible. We actually need that. And sometimes without realizing it, we're in this place where we don't think it's all that important anymore. And that is a problem, I think. We don't think we need the body of Christ like we used to. We don't want to be in church, or we don't need to be in church like we used to. We don't need to do the things or be so sold out as I used to be. It's easy, isn't it, just to kind of slip away. Have you been there? You done that? So we need God, don't we? We need to encourage one another. We need to say, listen, let's get back. Let's get back to that place. Let's rediscover what we had together in the Lord. Let's get hungry again. Amen. Let God whet your appetite for more of Him. Be a glutton for His presence. Amen. Don't get content with just a few goosebumps on Sunday. You know, that's the problem. People are not free from addictions and other things because they're not people of His presence. In God's presence, there is complete freedom. In the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. There's liberty. You're not bound in the presence of God. Amen. And God wants to keep you free. And we have to be deliberate to keep ourselves awake, to be prayerful. Paul instructed the Ephesians, Ephesians 6:18, they said, pray, 6:18, in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. How often? And stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. Aren't you glad that somebody's praying for you? Amen. I know you guys pray for me and you need to. But I need it like anybody else. We pray for each other. Amen. We're watchmen. We need to be vigilant and we need to watch out. Amen. For the adversary. And if we see the enemy coming, we need to sound the alarm. We need to make sure people are aware. I've seen people, or they start to get involved in certain relationships that I know are not of God. They're unequally yoked, you know, and I have to just tell them, listen, God does not want you getting, I don't care how much in love you think you are with this person. God does not want you getting romantically involved with somebody who's not in the same place you are in the Spirit. Amen. Equally yoked. That doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes people get angry. They don't like to hear that. Other times they appreciate the fact that you told them the truth because you're being a watchman. You're looking out for their soul. You know, the Apostle Paul said, the more that I love, the less I'm loved. When he's really loving people, tell them the truth. How many know you and I are not in this for a popularity contest, to win a popularity contest? We're here to be popular with Jesus and please the Lord. So I'm going to finish with this. It's not a matter, you know, of do I have the ability to serve the Lord, to be a follower of Jesus? It's am I going to be a follower of Jesus? And am I going to serve the Lord? It's not a matter of do I have a gift? God, if you're in Christ, you have been given a gift, at least a gift. Amen. Use that gift for the Lord. It doesn't have to look like everybody else's, and don't expect everybody else to operate like you do. But just be faithful to what God has called you to do, and together, amen, we do our part. You guys fill up some of the empty places, you know, where I may be missing things or lacking. You guys can step up, and you can step in and pay attention to people that sometimes slip through the cracks. It happens. Even in a smaller group, you know, you guys can learn and you're sharing and delegating and giving the youth responsibility, you know, to kind of pay attention to for each other. Look out for one another, you know, and we learn to do that. So listen, if you've been out of the race, if you've been asleep, just come back. Just come back to Jesus. Amen. It's time to wake up. God needs his people awake. He needs his people activated. He wants us empowered. He wants us moving in the authority he's given us, and he wants us destroying the works of the devil. Amen. God wants to establish his beachhead in you. Amen. And be Lord over you. Hallelujah. Are we willing to give him that place? Are we willing to give Jesus priority first in our lives? Not my will, but thine be done. So arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I believe, even as ancient Israel, God is saying, listen, you are my spiritual Israel today. Amen. There is national Israel. There is spiritual Israel. The church is spiritual Israel. All right. And that means we're Jew and Gentile have been brought together in one new man in Christ Jesus. Amen. And therefore, as the church, God is saying, I want you to arise and I want you to shine. For your light has come. Jesus Christ is our light. He's the light of our lives. Amen. And because he is in us, the light is in us, we can be the light of the world. Amen. So we need to be available and willing to express his light through our lives to those around us. Amen. Light up the night, guys. If the church will wake up and do what it's called to do, America can be saved. America can be turned around. And I'm believing that that will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not throwing America under the bus and giving it over to the devil. We need to stand and fight. Amen. Because God is with us and God is for us. God is on our side and God is able to make all grace abound to us. God is able to turn this situation around. Somebody say amen. Make me feel good. All right. So let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you have been with us and are with us and are always with us and always for us. God, I thank you in Jesus' name today for the word, for the truth. Lord, I thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of your family, to be your servants, Lord. We get to serve you. We delight in you, Lord, today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, Lord. Every day, Lord God, you are there. Every day you are faithful. Every day you are with us. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because we have you. We have light. We have help. Lord, we're never alone in this thing. And God, I just thank you today that we get to be here together in this place. And Lord, you said if two of us shall agree as touching anything we shall ask in your name, it shall be done. And so, Father, today we want to come into agreement for America. God, we want to come into agreement for our nation. Lord, we see what's happening. You know what's happening. You know what's happening behind the scenes. You see it all. There are no secrets. Lord, my first prayer is for your church. Lord, that you would forgive us. And Lord, that you would bring repentance to the body of Christ. In the areas, Lord, where we have drifted, in the areas where we've been negligent, Lord, we pray that you would bring us back, sharpen us again, Lord, reignite the flame within us again, Lord, bring us back to full flame, full expression of you. Hallelujah, God, we just pray, first of all, that your church will be restored. Lord, that you will bring us back to the place where once again we will be influencers in this nation. Lord, you said, if my people, and that's us, the ones called by your name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, you said you would hear from heaven and you would forgive our sin and heal our land. Father, we ask you to forgive our sins and Lord, forgive the sins of our nation and turn our nation back to you. God, we pray for your divine intervention in our government. God, we pray that you will come and you will infiltrate, Lord, send your angelic hosts, Lord God, into Washington, D.C., into the White House, into the Senate, into the Congress, into the Department of Justice, into every echelon of government. We pray, Lord, from an invasion from on high, Lord, that you will send forth your hosts right now, God, we pray. That, Lord God, you will expose all the corruption. We pray, Lord God, that you will bring justice back to this nation, Lord God, and that you will establish righteousness in this nation. That you will, Lord, raise up righteous men and women to take position of influence in this nation again in Jesus' name. May your kingdom come and will be done in our lives, in our families, in our communities, and in this nation, God, we pray. Lord, wake up America. Lord, only you can save America. Only you can make America great again. And we pray, Lord, make us great in you. Make us strong in you. Lord, wake up this nation in Jesus' name. Wake me up. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up inside. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Stir up, Lord, a hunger for you in us. Stir up a hunger for your presence. A desire for the things of eternity. To live for you, God. that we may bear fruit unto eternal life. Father, I pray your shalom, your peace, to rule over us, Lord, our hearts, our minds, guard us, keep us, Lord, in your love, and use us as an expression of your love, Father, in every place we go. In Jesus' name, amen.